I think the best way to do this is word of mouth and making Ira easier to use. You know, that will be the biggest, most important form of success. You know, I think you should work with Besby to make it easier to use, and then if enough people use it, the word will go out.
Hi, this is John McNichol. I'd like to ask Marty a question. I was an early adapter, and I don't remember how long ago, years ago, and, you know, at $80 a month, and the glasses that were a little cumbersome, the wire and the separate phone, and it wasn't a good connection. So I eventually dropped it from those technical reasons, and I just didn't find enough things to do with it. So it's changed that I can just use my iPhone now?
Exactly. Yeah, John, you were one of those. You identified yourself as an early adopter. I would call you a very patient person. Those were some technically challenging times. Kudos to you for dealing with glasses and a cable and a phone. So thank you. But yes, right now we are phone only. We're beginning to partner with third party smart glass providers. We're no longer manufacturing hardware. We've recently made Ira able to run on the Envision AI smart glass platform. So if you happen to own and have a pair of Envision AI smart glasses, you can invoke a call to an Ira agent, amongst many other things. Ira has recently partnered with a company called Blindshell that manufactures a non-smartphone. Funny people in this world that will not and do not ever want to own a smartphone. And we now have a way that Ira can run on a non-smartphone device. It's called the Blindshell Classic 2. It costs about $300. It's a tactile device designed for people who are blind or low vision. So now you've got non-smartphone, you've got Apple, Android, and you have one smart glasses platform that Ira is running on. The last way you can use Ira, which also can be heavily beneficial by people in the state of Connecticut, is support on your computer, right? So people who are blind or low vision, they're familiar with using screen readers. What if the screen reader is not working right? You know, what if you don't understand why, you know, you've gone through the reboot process, you've restarted, and it's just not working, right? So there's lots of technical issues online that are essential to you as a resident or visitor of the state of Connecticut, which you can connect with and use Ira at no charge. But yes, to answer your original question, phone only, you have access to it all day long for free using the access offer in the state of Connecticut.
Okay, thank you. You sure have evolved.
Any other questions?
Hi, Marty. This is Scott from Chris Radio. Just a quick question. Do you guys have a sense of the minimum number of users you would need going forward to maintain the service?
Good question.
Great question. I would say that there was never a number discussed, and I think all of us assumed that it would be more widely used and we wouldn't be faced with this problem. I would say that if we could get to 100 people, like, that's probably, like, I think that's the minimum I would want to see, that I would feel comfortable going back and saying we have, you know, a decent sized data set for you to make an assumption and for, you know, for the state to assess, is this worth doing long term? Certainly, if it was more than 100, if it was 250 or 500, you know, then we're really talking. But I think, like, there's major risk by not hitting 100 users. That's just my opinion. We don't have a hard number. I think we're all just hoping and wanting to see continued growth. So everyone was pretty pumped when we went from, you know, 22 to 55 users, but, you know, we need that next jump.
Good. Yeah, let's triple it, double it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marty, thank you for being here, explaining a little bit more about the service to those who may be unfamiliar with it, especially those who are not blind. And we'll still work together with myself, Bill, and whoever else wants to help out and find a way to spread the news, whether it's local government access channels for free advertising or maybe something on the news, a news story through traditional media. We'll figure it out and hit the ground running 2023.
I just would like to add one final point of, you know, this is a passion project of mine, you know, really for one reason, in that this is the first of its kind. No state in the entire nation has a voc rehab agency that is directly connected with DOT to offer something specifically for the community of people who are blind or low vision with no restriction and no restraint. So I think this, if we can harness this, this is a model that other states can follow. So I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make this successful. So again, just thanks for your time this morning.
Sure. You just triggered a question. With that said, I know there are some stakeholder meetings. How is DOT and Bestie working together to help them out this? Is there any interaction between the two agencies?
Yeah, so we have a biweekly call. It's actually tomorrow at 9 a.m., so it's every other Thursday. And that is members from DOT, members from BESBE, members from the UConn research team, and also specifically members from the CT Rides digital team, who's maintaining our website property. So those are kind of all the current stakeholders. Our current focus is an additional marketing campaign in which you know, we've taken some feedback from some blind and low vision residents in Connecticut of 50 ways to use Iowa in the state of Connecticut. Probably in the next 7 days is when we're going to be starting to launch that messaging on Facebook and on Twitter. Simple stuff, but hopefully some of them would be kind of like, I never thought of that. Like some really easy ways to use Iowa. It doesn't have to be complex. So we're hoping that begins to move the needle as well.
Okay, and typically on these stakeholder meetings, do you have an end user of the product there to actually provide some of that feedback?
You know, I would say probably only like 75 or a quarter of all of our calls have outside parties. Usually it's an internal update, it's a spitball, what are we doing wrong session, like what is everyone's ideas, like the needle's not moving. And I think, like, you know, that has included, you know, some, let's just say, like guest appearances from some members of the BESBE O&M team, but no direct end users, no.
Just something to consider, because, you know, you have people who aren't using the product, don't know how it could affect them, and then you have people who do use it and know how it works and may have some better insights. I think that would be an advantage to the stakeholder meetings, but we'll work together. Thank you for taking the time to join us this morning.
One quick, Marty, that list of 50 reasons, is that something you could give to this group, you know, in an email or something?
Yeah, we're actually going through the that's with DOT tomorrow. So we have kind of, it was an unstructured list of what those 50 things were, and then we're now turning them into complete sentences for DOT to give kind of a yay or nay to. So I think after they review it, if you would like to see it, sure. Yeah.
That would be great.
I have one more question. So how are you getting that out to Facebook users in Connecticut? How are you planning to get it?
It would be posted on Iowa's primary Facebook page.
We might not be getting this.
Yeah. If people are unfamiliar with Iowa, they wouldn't be looking for it. Yeah.
So we're also distributing that same content. It'll be given to the NFB, to Marianne Melody, to distribute to that mailing list, and then I was hoping that, you know, after Carol landed and we had a chance to connect, and perhaps even after this call, we could figure out how do we include Besby in that distribution so that they can share that content with their constituents as well.
Yeah, and Marty, you know, if you send that along to me, I'm happy to work up a couple of PSAs on that too.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
You can also join the NFB of Connecticut web's Facebook page, and I'm the moderator of it, so you'll get connected fast. So I'll approve you fast. Do you want to do that too?
And then we can just repurpose the content that we're putting on the IR page onto the NFB page.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
All righty. Thanks again, Marty. Great questions, and let's make sure we get this as a permanent fixture for all of us in Connecticut to utilize and benefit from. Next is the annual report. I'd like to thank Mary for facilitating a draft of the annual report, which is submitted to the governor and to Amy Porter each year. I submitted some comments and corrections and a couple of changes and additions, very, very few, and the work in getting that done. There's one part that remains sort of blank on the annual report, and that's for us. It's really the goals and plans of the council for fiscal year 2023. I don't know if this has ever been addressed at an SRC meeting. I haven't heard it the last 2 years, but you know, I'd just like to take a few minutes and, you know, just ask council members, do they have any suggestions, right? Do some brainstorming on what we could add as a plan and goal for 2023 for the council. You know, in addition to continuing the work we're doing now, as soon as I have, I guess I should have sent the draft to everyone to review first. It needs to be, I was told it needs to be submitted by the end of the year. So it's hard to squeeze things in last minute, but the success story is a part of the report, as well as some specifics of the survey. Yes, ma'am.
This is Carol. A suggestion. Next year, which is right around the corner in 2023, we need to do the consumer statewide needs assessment. It's due next year, and then we use that and the questions and categories within that to help identify the goals and things for us and the SRC to put in our state plan, which is due in 2024. And the CSNA takes a year to complete. It's really comprehensive. And so I was hoping that, you know, the SRC and I, we could work together and start doing that in January. So that could be one of the goals.
That's a great idea, because that will encompass everything. You're right. That's perfect. Now I know why Connecticut hired you.
Wasn't my charm.
Any other comment? Any other comments or suggestions?
That too.
Okay, so we'll add that to the portion of the annual report, and I'll just, you know, essentially state that we'll carry on what we've been doing this year. I think we're emerging into a transition period of growth coming out of the pandemic. And I'm excited to see where we bring services and clients moving forward. That would go to the Besby representative. So, Director Jenkins or Mary, any report or information you'd like to add that hasn't been said already? Uh-oh.
We're both shaking our heads no.
Okay. Yeah. I just got my phone. I just got a low battery, so if I disconnect, even though it's charging, I don't know what's going on. I'll switch to the other phone. Okay.
No, I'm good. I don't have anything else to add either. Yeah, like Carol said.
Legislation update?
Could it be more on cue right now, Andrew? Literally, Andrew just signed on, and we are talking about the legislative update.
Actually, I've been on for a little bit, I had my face hidden. No, I didn't join long ago. There really isn't much of a legislation update, but I did want to be here to say that much. Aging and Disability Services, the mothership agency, is not proposing any agency legislation this upcoming session. The session will convene on January 3rd, the first Wednesday after the first Monday. There will be some new people involved. We, as an agency, have worked a lot with Kathy Abercrombie, state representative from Meriden, because she's been chairman of the Human Services Committee. The Human Services Committee has domain over ADS, our agency. She retired. So Amy and she and I, we had a good, relationship, and she had a lot of knowledge. But someone will replace her as chairman, and we'll build from there. As I said in another meeting, there was some legislation, which is not really a vocational thing, but a blind thing, and to redefine what a guide dog is in statute and to change the name to service animal and to use the federal definition. As an agency, sometimes there's a little bit of a battle between people who are supporting emotional support animals, which are sort of beyond service animals. We haven't jumped into that battle, but sometimes it goes back and forth. That bill did pass one chamber, but didn't become law. It didn't pass both chambers to, again, make guide dogs redefined as service animals. We'll be monitoring any legislation that comes forward. There have been a couple of legislators over the recent term who put in bills to try to promote assistance for people with disabilities finding employment. I think sometimes they just observe the tough landscape for people with disabilities and don't even know that there's an agency doing this, because as much as we do good work, we don't solve the problem of people with disabilities finding work. We try to solve the problem one at a time, but it's not eradicated. But there are legislators out there who are sympathetic to our cause, and they may put in some bills this year. We will monitor those bills as they come up, and if anything affects, obviously, vocational work, we could share that with the committee's members, and so we can keep an eye out for that. That in February, the governor will produce a budget publicly. He'll give his budget address, and a month after the session starts, or 5 weeks, and we'll learn then, actually members of the agency will learn the same time as members of the public, exactly how much money he's putting forward for us for the next 2 years. Connecticut operates under a two-year or biennial budget, which would begin next July 1st, 2023. And so we'll see whether or not there's any trimming of our budget or any additions to our budget or changes. Mm-hmm. But again, we won't know that till February. So that's my report. Of course, if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. But
thank you for the update, Andrew. I have a quick question unrelated to the report, but I don't know if this is something you can answer for us. Bill DeMeo and I, in conjunction with conversation with Marty about expanding the IRA usage among the blind of Connecticut, what is our capacity to utilize traditional media, whether it be a newspaper article or a local news story, representing, I don't know if we would be representing the agency for that, like on a government access TV channel, you can put slides up there and they're narrated in most cities. What do we do to get approval to be able to do that, promote the IRA program, because it is supported by the state?
If it was ADS, the agency promoting it, I guess we'd need to go through the governor's press office. They, I think, want to know that we were issuing a press release or trying to get a public service announcement or even a screenshot. Now, if it was, I don't know, the NFB or something, or citizens who were calling up their local cable channel saying, hey, can you put up, then we wouldn't need our involvement, and then you wouldn't need permission from the governor's office if you're acting as private citizens or private entities.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. I'll be in contact with you then. Some specifics, or I'll reach out to the governor's office and move that. But thank you for the report. Thanks for showing up and being here. It's important information we gather from you all the time.
You're welcome.
We can close out with the chairman's report. I don't have much to report, but I would like to a couple of acknowledgments. I would like to acknowledge Cheryl Stepalak for stepping in as the acting director for the past year. Her help and guidance and interest in the program and the council has been terrific. We're coming to meetings, participating, and you know, 3 months ago when I took the chair, she was most helpful to me in getting information that I needed to do my job. So I want to thank her for that, as well as Zach Moore, who was a great help over the past year to the council by setting up the meeting notices, minutes, agendas, and reminders. So we thank both of them. I also want to thank Mary Burgard. Over the past year, she essentially was the representation of BSB and the VR program to the council, and the information she provided, and not only to these council meetings, but to work groups, has been invaluable. So Mary, I'd like to thank you as well. And then, of course, extending another warm welcome to Director Jenkins. And we just hope that we can continue on in 2023, doing some great work that impacts the lives of the blind in Connecticut. As you can tell already by some of the emails that I sent when I was first applied to this position, I'm a doer. I like to get things done. And sometimes that may rattle a few skeletons, or I don't know the proper terminology, but it comes from a good place. And if anyone has any ideas, please bring them to our attention, to my attention. We're trying to do everything possible to give the best services to the clients of the VR program in Connecticut. And from what I've learned over the past 2 years, I just felt like the council was merely a extension of either Besby or Brian personally, and that the agenda was of the Bureau and not of the SRC. And if everyone hasn't had a chance to take a look at the bylaws and the WIOA documents and the VR handbook, you know, the SRC council has quite a bit of authority and relevance to the VR program. And I think that all of us are here for a reason. You know, we come with so many skills and talents and experiences, and I think we are being underutilized. So I want to empower everyone to, you know, really step forward, you know, volunteer for work groups, give all your information that's helpful, or, you know, even criticism. You know, constructive criticism is always necessary to move forward and really determine what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. So I really want to appreciate everyone's time, everyone's skills and talents, and hope that everyone does indeed step up. And you're here for a reason, as am I. Let's make the most of these opportunities. We don't meet very often. I hope we can do it a little more frequently with special meetings, and just move forward together as a group. And I hope the introductions today were helpful. And any questions or comments from me, any concerns, you know, here is a great place to mention them, or I'm always available by phone or email. And I'm just excited to see what 2023 brings for all of us. But thank you for your confidence in me.
Thank you, Phil. It was a very good meeting.
Thank you. Not much, but again, we nibble away at things, and the participation today was outstanding. I like hearing the questions and the comments, because it just gets us all thinking a little bit more, and it triggers more of a response from everyone else. So we're excited to have Director Jenkins. I know it takes a little bit of pressure off of Mary, perhaps, and we just appreciate everyone working so hard on behalf of the clients of Connecticut. So our next meeting in March, we'll have everything sent out. We'll try to get a new Zach Moore to get this on a regular basis. And again, never hesitate to reach out to me. And I would just ask, though, if there are any emails that go out. I noticed there weren't any RSVPs from the email Zach sent out last month with the agenda for today's meeting. So maybe we can, in the future, have that on the meeting email. You know, just please RSVP. I know a month is a long way for some people to schedule things and know their availability, but we need to get a better sense of who's going to be at the meetings, and so we can do make reminder emails in the future, as mentioned earlier, to get the most people here. The more people we have, the more ideas we can conjure up, and that we can be as a council. And that's what I look forward to doing, making us more relevant and effective as a partner with the VR program, and to work with them to, again, extend the best services to our clients and have more success stories. So, there's nothing else. Anyone have any additional comments or questions or good and welfare mentions? Please feel free to express those now. Otherwise, we can call the meeting to a closure. We cannot vote on that, but I can call the meeting to a closure. Hearing none, I wish everyone a very happy holiday season, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whichever you celebrate, or nothing at all. Please be safe, healthy, be good to each other, and of course, have a wonderful and blessed 2023. Thank you, everyone.
Again, happy holidays.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, all.
Take care.
See you all next
Bye-bye.
Year.
Bye. Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.